Oh, it is so good to be back. It really is. Talking football here on 760 WJR with my pal, Bill Keenis. Of course, Jason Fisler along as well. And one of the things we like to do at the start of the show is just let you know what is going on in the National Football League right now. Raiders have a one-point lead on the Broncos late in the fourth. Chargers, Dolphins have been back and forth. Chargers on top, 31-27. Still a lot of time left in that one. Eagles with an eight-point lead over the Patriots, about 8:42 to go. Bill Keenest, I know one that is near and dear to your heart. A lot of people are probably surprised at this one. Maybe not you. The Rams,
right,
up by two touchdowns with about 5 minutes to go, and Matthew Stafford doing Matthew Stafford things. He's got about 450 yards for what it's worth.
He's played great, and I've had the ability to watch that game since the game I did for the NFL ended. And he looks like Matthew.
No doubt about that. Yeah. Just to be precise, Bill, 334 yards.
Yeah.
24 of 38, 334 yards. You got to love it, man. You really do.
Absolutely. And he looks like Matthew. Like I said, he really looks like himself. And he made one throw along the sideline to some rookie by the name of Puka Nacua, who I had to look up. And he's a fifth round pick from BYU. And he has over 100 yards receiving. And he's like one of a handful of rookie receivers picked in the fifth round or later to have over 100 yards in their debut game. But Matthew made one of those, you know, sidearm, sideline, under a rush throw about 30 yards on a dime along the sideline. And this rookie caught it. But I'm telling you, Matthew looks like Matthew, and that's the beautiful thing.
You know, a lot of people, yours truly included, thought with Cooper Kupp out, this was going to be a tough day. But, Bill, the one thing that you have to remember, we saw it for years with Aaron Rodgers, and we saw it here with Matthew Stafford as well.
Yeah.
You have a quarterback of that caliber. Boy, he can make everybody around him just look better.
No doubt. He's got two relatively unknown receivers with over 100 yards, and no one gave them a chance to go to Seattle and win that game. You know, it's not over yet. I mean, you know, there's still 4 minutes and 35 seconds left to go. But to be up by 14 points in Seattle is quite remarkable, but not surprising for us, for those of us that that know Matthew, and he's got a great coach, and the defense is playing well too.
You know, Bill, I've been waiting literally since Thursday. I'll pick a random day since Thursday. Wink, wink. To ask you this question. In all your time with the Lions, and I mean, nobody knows this franchise like you, and I say that with respect. Mm-hmm. Do you remember a regular season win as big and as, I don't know, pleasurable for the fan base is what we saw on Thursday night in Kansas City? Because I'm telling you, I'm hard pressed to find one. And right, there are some big ones, mind you, in our lifetimes, but boy, I'll tell you what, bang for your buck, it's pretty hard to deny what transpired Thursday night.
There's no question, Sean. And I think just with the preseason buildup and where the team has been the last few years, it would be hard to say there's been a bigger regular season win. The one that because I thought the same thing. The one I go back to is the 94 season when we went to Dallas on a Monday night, and they were the two-time defending Super Bowl champions, you know, the triplets, Emmett and Michael and Troy, and, you know, the great offensive line. And, you know, and it was back then, believe it or not. I mean, a lot of the so-called experts thought Emmett was the best running back in the NFL. Shame on them, obviously. But that Monday night, I've never seen a football player, other than a quarterback perhaps, put a team on his shoulders like Barry Sanders did that night. It was remarkable. And we had our throwback jerseys on, and we won the game in overtime. And that was beyond huge. But the one thing, and the Lions will have a chance to do this next week, is, you know, you have a big win like that, you want to validate it.
Yep.
And the following weekend, we played New England. And there's two things that I'll never forget about that game. One is, I don't want to call it comical, but we were in some disputes with the Silverdome Authority at that time about advertising inside the building during game day. And it really seemed petty, quite honestly, on their part, because, you know, the building would be rented out for dirt shows and, you know, motocross, and there'd be signage and advertising all over the place. And you may, I know you do, Sean, you remember the infamous Flying Lion, don't you? Oh,
who can forget? My goodness.
You know, the Flying Lion. And they had brought it to our attention that I think they claimed we were violating the lease because we had that Flying Lion sponsored. And we thought it was frivolous, but nonetheless, it was, you know, a bone of contention for both of us, really. And what happened, we had the game in Dallas, and they called an emergency meeting like the following Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock. You know, we just got off the plane from the Monday night game, and we got to go to this meeting. And we had, you know, some negotiations that went on, didn't really solve anything. But fast forward to that Sunday game, and it was against New England. And I will forever believe somebody played with the controls, because there was a vacuum system in the Silverdome where they could disperse a lot of the air, you know, back in the time when they were smoking, and certainly for some of the truck events where the diesel fumes and what have you. But I am in the press box, and I swear all of a sudden we lost control. Our operator lost control of the Flying Lion, and it starts heading straight for Mr. Ford's box, his suite. And interestingly, there was only one suite in the whole Silverdome that was open air. So here, I know Mr. Ford's on the field coming up, and there's Mrs. Ford in there. And I'm like, oh no. So I literally left my post in the press box, ran. It wasn't far. It was just to the right of the press box to their suite. And I got in there. I don't know where Mrs. Ford was. Maybe she was in the back area or whatever. But I'm pushing the thing away from the front of the press box.
Right.
And, you know, disaster averted, I guess. However, okay, that's one thing. The other thing that every Lion fan remembers, and certainly every Barry Sanders fan recalls, was that incredible run where he turned a defensive back, for the Patriots inside and out 3 or 4 times on the way to a touchdown. Now, we didn't win that game, Sean. We didn't validate. So hopefully the Lions, and certainly they're going to look at this tape today and see what Matthew and the Rams did to Seattle, they can validate. But the interesting thing, and I had written his name down on a card, not knowing, you know, or assuming that it would be in reference to what I just described, that play against New England, and the defensive back that got turned around sideways, inside out and upside down, was Harlan Barnett, ironically.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
So, yeah.
Member of the 1987 Big Ten champion team and the Rose Bowl team, and obviously the news today, he is the interim head coach up in East Lansing. Mark D'Antonio, going to be an associate head coach. But, Bill, we got to get to that. I want to get your thoughts on the Lions game. I mean, so many positives for that game for me.
Oh, my gosh,
about that. Don't go anywhere. Gridiron Wrap. We'll try to cover it all. We're here literally every Sunday to the Super Bowl. Bill, I think the only ones we get off are Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. Other than that, you're stuck with me until February,
pal. Hey, I love it, buddy.
All right.
I love it.
He's Bill Kiedis. I'm Sean Balige, and this is Gridiron Wrap on 760 WJR. All right, so the Lions win on Thursday night, 21-20. And, Bill, this gives me, I told you 100 times, I'm going to say it for the 101st time, that Thanksgiving Day game in 1991, my broadcast partner Lomas Brown's speech, punching the Bears in the mouth, that's one of my personal favorites. It was like they had always been the measuring stick, and my buddies and I said it at the time, we out-bear the Bears that day, and that made me really happy. But what I loved about that game, and I'm intrigued to get your thoughts on this, is that wasn't the A game by the Detroit Lions.
Exactly.
I am so happy over that. Yep. We have an elite offensive line that I didn't think looked elite. I think our receivers are better than they showed. I think the quarterback's better than he showed. Yep. And yet they found a way to win the
game. No doubt. And that's what really good teams do. That was my exact reaction. My goodness, the Lions did not play their best game. But it's not necessarily about playing your best game. It's about playing well enough to win. And that effort was more than adequate. And to when you think of all the factors going into that game, you know, on the road, arguably the loudest stadium in the NFL, although how proud the Lions are, Lions fans, with the support that showed up at Arrowhead. Oh. I mean, that was crazy. And don't think for a minute that didn't impact the players. I guarantee you it did. And it also impacted the Chiefs, because the Chiefs are looking at all that blue and thinking, where'd they get those tickets from, our season ticket holders, perhaps? Yeah, on the secondary market. Exactly. But the bottom line was very few, probably the only people that gave the Lions a shot were in the locker room and on the coaching staff and with the organization. And it was similar in a way, very similar in a way to what happened at Green Bay last year in the final game. And here's another thing, Sean, and I'm sure no one would ever think I'd make this comparison, but in a way, the Colorado Dion, you know, taking his troops in the first game of the year and even against Nebraska was similar, because no one gave them a shot. You know, no one gave them a shot in either game. And no one gave Dan Campbell a shot. So maybe, you know, they both have that Dallas connection. So maybe they've broken bread before, who knows? But yeah. And like I said, now you want to validate it. You want to, and I think, you know, from the very beginning, if Dan Campbell's been able to do anything, it's been his ability, and it, being a former player helps a ton, his ability to keep the team even keel. And he tried to do that after the game. It's one game. There's 16 more. But what can be built from that game is immeasurable from that win.
It's so interesting, you know, with that being Thursday night, it just seems like a forever wait until we have to see them again. I mean, I was telling my buddies that, because we kind of sat in my front room. I had a few guys over, had a little barbecue and everything.
Yeah.
And we kind of sat there after the game, just sitting there going, wow, what did we watch? And then we were like, do we really have to wait 10 days? But what a great scene it'll be next Sunday, as you mentioned, hosting the Seattle Seahawks. And boy, Bill, you think what can happen over the course of a football season and from one year to the next?
Yeah.
A year ago at this time, right around this time, Seattle came in and just did whatever they wanted to the Lions that day. And you think about how that season flipped on a dime, and the Lions just became a far better team. And fast forward a year, heck yes, everybody's confident heading into this game against Seattle.
No question. And, you know, we like to look at the intangibles of a team, of a season, even of a schedule. Okay. You know, when the schedule comes out in the spring, it's not necessarily who you play, because you already know that. It's when you play them. Okay. Now, going into Kansas City after a Sunday game, playing there the following weekend, is a lot different than opening there, because you can rest your guys. You can be probably as healthy as you're going to be all year. Okay, that's one benefit. And now Seattle, they have to travel after, you know, a Sunday game all the way east to Detroit to play the Lions next Sunday. So that sort of lines up pretty well for the Lions. And But at the end of the day, all you have to do, Sean, is look at some of the results from today. I mean, we talk about the Rams, and this game's over, and there's a Matthew and Sean McVay hugging on the sideline as we speak. But you look at Cleveland beating Cincinnati. I mean, it wasn't even a game. And San Francisco, yeah, they're a very good team, but they pounded the Steelers in Pittsburgh. So there's enough of a reminder every week of you better be prepared, because this is the NFL and anything can happen. And that's, like I said just a little bit ago, that's what I think Dan Campbell has done a great job of, keeping the team aware of those things and on an even keel.
You know, I'm intrigued to hear about, I didn't get a chance to watch much of it today. Full disclosure, as I told you, I was watching the Browns. I think the Browns are a good team. I think they're a playoff team, and they didn't really change my mind today with that big win over Cincinnati. But you had an up close and personal look, of course, with your job with the National Football League at the Falcons and the Panthers. Right. I like this Panther team. You know, obviously you've got a rookie quarterback. Rookie quarterbacks are prone to do rookie quarterback things, but maybe this Falcon team, maybe we're sleeping on this team a little bit, Bill.
I'll tell you what, I was impressed. I was impressed with their running backs, Bijan Robinson, the, what was the eighth overall, I think, Sean, or something like that. He really looked good. He caught a touchdown pass and made a, you know, a big time move to get free and in the end zone. And then another running back who I, you know, full disclosure, I didn't know who he was. Tyler Algier, perhaps, or he was a fifth round pick last year, and he scored two touchdowns and he looked really good. And perhaps even trumping that was their defense. Their defense is physical, it's active, and they're going to cause problems for teams. And it wasn't the quarterback that really won the game for Atlanta. To me, it was the defense and the running game. And yeah, they're young, and if they get the quarterback playing better, who knows? But I think they're going to surprise some people this year. And then as far as Carolina, I like them too. I mean, obviously the head coach, Frank Reich, has connections to Detroit, having played here in the 90s, just a quality guy, and I believe a very good head coach. Jim Caldwell's coaching there. Sean Jefferson's coaching there. So they got some Detroit blood there for sure. And I just think that Bryce Young played like a rookie quarterback today, and he needs protection. And maybe it was the Atlanta defense being better, especially the front seven, than expected. But, you know, they got to shore up the protection for him before they can do anything. And the running game will obviously help as well. But, yeah, Atlanta looked pretty good. They really did.
I'm looking forward to that, no doubt about it. And congratulations to the Rams, as you mentioned. I don't think anybody saw that coming, Bill. I don't think anybody saw that coming. That was a team, Seattle, last year that surprised a lot of people. And people thought, hey, maybe Seattle's going to be even better this year. And I guess the Rams had something to say about that, did they?
Yeah, they sure did. And no one thought they had a chance even with Cooper Kupp. But then when he goes on IR and you're playing, you know, other than Jefferson, Sean Jefferson's son is the one receiver for the Rams. These other two relatively unknown receivers, holy mackerel, what an impressive performance by the Rams.
No doubt about that. We got a big one tonight. I know Jason Fissler's excited for that. The Giants and Dallas Cowboys, of course, that is the Sunday night game. It seems to me I remember that matchup being on a few Monday night games to open the season as well. But two teams that are certainly in the playoff mix. And Bill, that's the thing in this new NFL. I can't stress this enough, is this league has sold hope. And there are fans in almost every market right now that are thinking to themselves, we got a chance in the playoffs. And I think these are two teams that are probably feeling that exact same way again this year, Bill.
No question. I mean, and it's like a throwback to the old glory days of the NFC East, right? With Parcells and Gibbs, you know, and Dan Reeves with the Giants, and Dick Vermeil, and some of those glory days. And, And yeah, I think both of these teams are playoff contenders, at least as we are here in week one of the season. And tonight should be wild. It should be a great game. And, Dallas, I think the quarterback situation is pretty interesting down there, and see what happens. Them making the trade with the 49ers a couple weeks ago for the backup quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see how things go.
Really looking forward to it. We'll talk some college football, the situation going up at Michigan State. Bill, I'd obviously love to get your thoughts on that and your expertise. Yeah. For sure. It's not easy on anybody. I wish we could be talking about, you know, the two Big Ten teams at 2-0 right now. That isn't reality right now, but we'll get into that. Some high school football as well. That's what we do on Gridiron Wrap, and we're so glad that you're joining us on a Sunday night here on 760 WJR. Well, as you heard yesterday here on your home for the Spartans, 760 WJR, the Spartans knock off the Richmond Spiders by a score of 45-14. They improved to 2-0 on the season. Bill Keenest, I know you follow the Spartans very closely, and one of the biggest fans of the Michigan State Spartans out there, of course, is our mutual friend Joseph. I know we'll be talking about that in the next couple of weeks. I wish we could be talking about how so many people that I talked to in the past couple months, not only on Sports Wrap, but up at Michigan State in East Lansing, told me this defense is going to be good. This defense is massively improved. Can't wait until they can show it, and certainly the early indications are good. There's no doubt about that. But Bill, that unfortunately is not the reality right now. As you heard earlier today, Mel Tucker suspended without pay as head coach of the Michigan State Spartans. Harlan Barnett, of course, great Spartan, as you mentioned. He may not like to hear it, but he's going to be a meme for the rest of his days, Bill.
Right.
On the Barry Sanders run, Harlan Barnett is going to be the interim head coach. Mark D'Antonio coming back as well. And Bill, this is just the reality of what happened. Here we are. It's a reality, and we have to talk about it, Bill.
Yeah, it is a sad reality of life, let alone sports. And obviously, they had the press conference today, and I think the thing that surprised and perhaps upset a lot of people is the timing of everything, because it's something that has been, at least from an investigatory standpoint, been going on for quite a while. And then the story breaks, the USA Today story, and then the things start happening today, that the biggest of which was the suspension without pay.
You just sit back and, you know, you wonder how this is going to be a distraction for the kids moving forward. And I know they're familiar with Harlan Barnett, and obviously many of them are familiar with Coach D'Antonio, even if they hadn't played for him. You know, this is a guy that has still been around. Make no mistake about that. But Bill, as you know, football marches on. It's unfortunate that it's happening now, because I think, like so many other Spartan fans out there, I was really uber focused on Washington. And this game, I think we all remember what happened last year out in Washington, and Michael Penix Jr. Was incredible. But it would have been nice to exact some revenge. I brought it up earlier. I'll bring it again here. When Michigan State had an opportunity to go out to Oregon back in 2014, it didn't go the Spartans' way. But boy, on the return trip to East Lansing, Michigan State found a way to exact some revenge. And the focus entirely should be on that matchup against a team that might be a top five team come the new rankings. But here we are. Bill, you've been around teams, you know, both college and professional. You don't know how the guys are going to react. You really don't. Are they going to rally about it? Is it going to be a distraction? I guess we're going to have to wait and find out.
That's the reality, Sean. It really is. And you don't know how young men are going to react. And, you know, you look at the whole picture of what these, this university's gone through for years. This is a continuation. And on one hand, I hate to think that they're hardened by some of the tragedies and the events that have gone on, but they've been through it. There's no question those students, the administration, the coaches, they've been through a lot. And the alumni has been through a lot. Anybody that wears green and white, bleeds green and white, has been through a lot. And it's like, wow, here we go again. You don't want to say it, but it's being said. And so I think in a situation like that, you do your best to rally people around. There's very few involved with the game that have any control on what's going on outside with the investigation. So you try to, and I think bringing back Coach D'Antonio is a great idea. Harlan has been around the program as long as anyone.
Yep.
He knows the culture. He knows the emotion and everything that's going on. It's personal to him. It's more than just coaching a team. I mean, he sees himself in those young men wearing the green and white, undoubtedly. So it's going to be, I don't want to use the word fascinating because it just doesn't seem like the right word in a situation like this, but it certainly will be compelling to see how they react. And young men, you know, if football teaches you anything, it teaches your life and it teaches you about getting knocked down. And these kids have been knocked down a lot, not just the football players, but the university and the students and everybody, like I said, associated with Michigan State. So from a life standpoint, you know, the football players understand we're getting knocked down. Let's get back up. Let's rally. You know, let's be a team and let's do what we can. Let's control what we can control. You know, the stuff outside of our little huddle, if you will, is going to happen. And we're not going to have anything to do with that. So let's do what we can.
Yeah, well said. Of course, we'll have the game for you, as always. Yeah. Here, your home for the Spartans, 760 WJR. Starts with the Steve Courtney tailgate show, of course, taking you up to the pregame show and then kickoff at 5. Should be an outstanding atmosphere at Spartan Stadium. And we know some students there, Bill. I know my daughter is excited for it. You know what's funny with my daughter? I don't think she cares about the game. She just wants to go to the tailgate. So that's fine with me. Hey, I don't want to dismiss Michigan, obviously. Highly ranked Michigan. Two big wins as well. That team is loaded, Bill. I can totally understand why they are the favorite to win the Big Ten. And let me say for the record, and I know I said this to Jason Fissler, I think they will win the Big Ten again that third year in a row. But Ohio State, if I've learned one thing about Ohio State in the last 20 years, it's never count out the Buckeyes. Never count out the Buckeyes. Yeah. And I remember in 2014, I always bring this up, Michigan State, defending Big Ten champions, beat everybody in conference by double digits. Surely they're going to win in 2014 again because Ohio State had to replace a quarterback and they had an iffy defense. Well, Ohio State went and won a national title that next year. And I'm not saying that that's going to happen again. Let me reiterate to my Michigan friends out there. I really do think they're the favorite for a reason, but I know this about Ohio State. Even though they have not looked that good so far, you'd be out of your mind to count them out. There's always so much talent down in Columbus.
There's no question about that, Sean. And in Penn State, I mean, I don't know how real they are based on who they've played, but holy mackerel. But you're right about Michigan, and I'll tell you what, I'm sort of reminiscing about and chuckling at the same time. Was it wasn't that long ago that there was such a frenzy over the quarterback position at Michigan with Cade and JJ McCarthy, and Jim Harbaugh got a lot of criticism for how he handled it, you know, a couple years ago with starting one, starting the other. And what I think now, as it's played out, Jim Harbaugh knew that this JJ was special, and he had it. however Jim Harbaugh defines it, however a former college quarterback at Michigan and in the NFL defines it, this kid has it. And what he's done the first couple weeks has been remarkable. Now, the detractors will say, well, who are they playing? Well, some of those balls, some of those throws he's made in those tight windows, it doesn't matter who you're playing. You still got to make the throw. And he's made them. And he has some swagger to him. And I think the players love that. They rally around that. And, yeah, it's going to be a fascinating Big Ten season without question. And you're right about Ohio State. You know, they win the games they have to. Maybe, you know, not the style points that some Buckeye fans certainly would love to see. But they're winning, and in some ways, you know, it's like the old Big Ten with Michigan and Ohio State. But now you got to throw Penn State in the mix a little bit as well.
Yep, no doubt. Hey, I want to get your thoughts on the story from college football as well. Make no mistake about it. It's Deion Sanders in Colorado. Yep. Period, end of story. And also, just a great afternoon of college football yesterday. Oh. Bill and I were talking about it. Like, there was a span from about 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock where your butt wasn't moving. And so we'll get some thoughts on that. Some high school football stuff as well. Final segment of Gridiron Wrap coming up. He's Bill Keenest. I'm Sean Belegian on 760 WJR. You know, Bill, I don't think you and I have ever had a conversation about Deion Sanders over the years. And when Deion Sanders told the Lions, don't draft me in
essence. I was just thinking that, Sean.
That was long before I was in the business. I don't even know the whole story behind it. Deion Sanders doesn't rub people the right way. Some people the right way. I happen to find Deion Sanders very entertaining. I really do. And I think in today's day and age, in college football, we're really missing some of the personalities that we grew up with. Like, I loved Steve Spurrier's antics, for example. Yeah. I really did. Deion Sanders is a fresh of breath air. And I'll tell you what, he's creating something that a lot of athletes around the country that are in high school are watching and saying, I want to be a part of that. Like him or not, I hope people can at least see that coming. I think it's been fun to watch, Bill. I really do.
Oh, it has. And I'm sure the ratings for the two Colorado games so far this year have been outrageously high. But you mentioned Deion's comments about the draft back in 89. I got to tell you a couple Deion stories, if I may. So that was Wayne Fonseca's first full season as head coach of the Lions. And it was before the draft. And Wayne decided to have a mini camp in Tampa. He was worried that, you know, the Silverdome may have had a truck pull or some type of home and garden show or something. But he decided to take the whole team to Tampa. And we're down there for a mini camp. And I think it was at the University of Tampa Stadium. And it's right as the team got to practice one morning. And all of a sudden, there's some commotion on the sidelines, and this Mercedes drives up. May have been a convertible. I'm not sure. But I know this. If I didn't have sunglasses on at the time, I had to put them on for the glare of all the glitter that was coming out of that car, you know, shining off the Florida sun and chains and gold. And guess who was in the car? It was Deion. And so I know that Wayne talked to him and blah, blah, blah. So that was my first real exposure to Deion. I believe that Deion knew the Lions weren't drafting him. So he wanted to tell the world, I don't want to be drafted by Lions. Well, guess what? You're not going to be. Okay. So he looks like he's controlling the flow a little bit. You know, it was obviously going to be Barry. And then the other Deion story remains one of my favorite of all time in my NFL journey, if you will. But it was the Super Bowl in Atlanta between Dallas and Buffalo. And I was working the Super Bowl. And the week before the game, there was a youth clinic at the stadium. And we had some Lions players that had come down and volunteered. I think Benny Blades, maybe William Waite, maybe Lomas Brown, you know, two or three. Three of them were at the clinic. So a couple members of the NFL staff and myself, we walked to the stadium. I walked over to see my guys. And we're standing there, and there's all the kids on the field with the NFL players. And the Reverend Jesse Jackson happened to be there. So we got an introduction with the Reverend Jackson, and he was a very nice guy. And we're just standing there. And like I said, it was myself, a couple team PR guys, and a member of the league office, who I will not mention his name. So, again, just sort of like, you know, 5 years earlier, 4 years earlier at the mini camp in Tampa, all of a sudden there's a commotion coming through the tunnel in the end zone. And we look over, and there's prime time, neon. And he's got his entourage, and he's got, you know, the gold and the chains, and we're looking at him, and the Reverend Jackson goes, and I apologize for not getting this quote exact, but he basically says, you know, Paul says those that live by gold and silver will die by gold and silver, something to that effect. And so the guy from the league goes, huh, Tagliabue said that? we crack up, and then the Reverend, you know, very politely goes, oh, no, that would be Paul the Apostle, not Paul the Commissioner. Remains one of my all-time classics.
Oh, that's so great.
I love those stories. But anyways, but as far as Deion goes, you look at his career. You know, he's backed up every single thing he has said, and he said a lot, and it turns people off. It does. And I think he could be more humble. I do. I think humility is something that, you hear it a lot in sports. You're either humble or you will be humbled.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he did it in Atlanta. He, you know, had a great career with the Falcons, played baseball. That was amazing what he did. His antics with Tim McCarver aside that were totally uncalled for. But then he goes to Dallas, wins the Super Bowl, goes to San Francisco, wins the Super Bowl. And he's turning college football upside down. And a part of it's kind of scary what he's doing. But you know what? He's doing what he's allowed to do, what he can do. And I'll tell you what, his son is the real deal. That young man is exceptional. And I just think there's so much talent in our country when it comes to young athletes. It's no surprise to me that he's, because of the way the rules are, you know, you talk about free agency and pro sports, college has become the ultimate, you know, ground for free agency. It's crazy. Now, does that scare us a little bit about what the future bodes? Yeah, absolutely it does. Who knows where we're going to end up with all this?
Yeah.
But for the time being, he's backed it up.
We got about 30 seconds, Bill, but that's enough time to talk about our adopted favorite local prep team, the Holly Broncos, who sit at 2-1 right now.
Right.
Good start, coming off a tough loss against a really good team, but in about 30 seconds, let us know what's going on with the Broncos.
Well, big win next week, our big game next week. Maybe I'm being prophetic against Fenton, a big rival. So we're going to have, you know, put that game against Linden behind us, and I know the head coach will have the guys ready to play on Friday night.
Where's that game at?
It's at home. No, it's at Linden.
Okay.
Wait a minute. It's at home. It's at home.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
It's at Holly. Yeah.
Looking forward to it. Yeah. As always, looking forward to chatting with you each and every week here on Gridiron Wrap. As I mentioned, all the way to the week before the Super Bowl, because we're not going to do a show Super Bowl Sunday. The game's on. So look forward to always being with you. I want to thank Jason Fissler as well. Jason, great job all day today with so many things going on. Now, most importantly, thank you for listening and inviting us into your radios, your phones, however you listen. Have a great night. We'll see you next week on Gridiron Wrap.